Welcome back to the Movie Draft House.
I'm your host, Mark, joined by my co-host, Jeff.
Good day to you, sir. And good day to you, listener.
You sound like a pirate there.
I'm trying something new. Well, I watched a little bit of Hook.
Oh, did you?
In preparation for Spielberg chronologically.
I also watched a pirate movie recently.
Yeah?
It's a Netflix animated movie called The Sea Beast. And it was fantastic. It's like my kid wanted to watch something. She's 13 years old, and she's like, "Yeah, let's watch a movie." And I'm like, "Oh, I've heard really good things about this movie." And we watched it, and it's the best pirate movie I've ever seen.
There you go. But it's not Pirate Month, Mark. But you should probably tell everyone about the music.
Music this month is brought to you by the band Speakeasy. They are a self-proclaimed coffeehouse metal band.
Whoa, that's good.
It is good. Coffeehouse metal. with their song Enemy, you can find their music wherever you get your music from. You can also hit the show notes for all of their the links to their socials and their webpage and the YouTube. Make sure you're smashing the follow button. And or the subscribe button if you're on YouTube, and showing them some love. We appreciate them letting us use their music on the podcast.
Did I edit an episode with that music?
Pretty sure you did. Right? I'm pretty sure it was the first episode of the month, which was
Prom
Night.
Why do I not remember the song? Okay. I'll have to go back.
Well, Jeff, what?
I'm just trying to remember if I put the right song on the show. That's all.
I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah. I wouldn't be the
At
first
At the time
one
of recording, the episode hasn't come out yet, so.
Yeah.
Anyways,
oh, what
it's
did
our
we watch?
It's our junior week.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that's right. God. Oh, I put the right thing on there. Okay. Yeah, so, last week was sophomore week. This week it's our junior week. Next week we graduate. And then what do we do after that? We just do drugs. Now.
Do we go to college?
I'm kind of burned on this.
Are we going
junk.
Straight into the workforce?
No. Remember? Drugs. Anyway.
Right.
We watched... Oh, this is back to school month. We're watching movies where they take place at or around a school. It's nondescript, but yet somehow, so far, and we've met the criteria on each of our films. I selected The Faculty from 1998, starring Josh Hartnett, Usher, Selma Hayek, John Stewart, Elijah Wood, and Robert Patrick.
Yeah, the IMDb synopsis for the film is, when Casey Connor, Harrington High School's newspaper photographer, witnesses the murder of a nurse and sees her alive again, he decides to investigate the bizarre happenings.
That is... not accurate, but okay. So this is directed by Robert Rodriguez, who is actually quite prolific. Yeah, he's directed a lot of stuff you've probably seen at various times.
All right, so before we get into this.
Yes.
What's your favorite Robert Rodriguez film?
Besides
The Faculty.
Oh, damn. Oh, let me thumb through here because he did From Dusk Till Dawn. It's definitely not that. Maybe Spy Kids? I don't know. None of this crap. How about that?
None of this crap.
I don't
not
like
even
Sin
City.
City.
No.
I didn't really watch the Machete movies.
Damn.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of this garbage.
El Mariachi or Desperado for me. Okay. Although. He didn't do... Did he do the Desperado sequel? Oh, it doesn't look like he did. Interesting.
Yeah, but he's done a lot of movies, none of which are as good as The Faculty.
So...
How did you feel, Mark, watching The Faculty?
This is a very 90s movie.
It is extremely 90s.
And I loved it is because that's the era I grew up in.
When you put the movie on.
And you
get the Dimension logo, which immediately reminds me of Scream.
Yeah.
But then Offspring fires up.
It's great.
The band Offspring. And I'm like, oh, shit. I'm here for this. Whatever happens now, this is a W.
Bro, we got a scene in this movie where two characters are having dialogue and the background Creed is playing. Okay.
Oh, can you take me higher? Listen, it is.
I don't think it was Can You Take Me Higher, but
wasn't there another movie we watched and we were like, this is so 90s? But I really feel like this is more 90s.
Oh, this is pinnacle 90s.
Yeah.
Just so like top tier 90s.
Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, sort of playing off of those coattails, even though it is its own story. Like, it's not a slasher flick like those. It's more of a possession, aliens type story. But it is campy and fun, and I got exactly what I wanted out of it.
Yeah, I was surprised by how glued in, because I hadn't seen this movie in forever.
I remembered nothing. I didn't remember who the queen was. I didn't remember really much of anything other than that the last sequence kind of takes place in the gym. That's about all I remembered.
Yeah, I remembered like I remember like Josh Hartnett's character peddling some homemade dope.
It's called scat. His drug that he gives the kids is called scat, aka shit, poop.
Right.
He's handing it out.
Well, he's selling it for $5, and it's ingenious because it's in pin casings.
I'm pretty sure an officer even of your caliber would have noticed that was a problem.
Listen, the teachers know he's peddling homemade drugs, and they're just like, hey, don't do that again.
Including Jean Grey, the actress who played Jean Grey in the X-Men series. She plays, what's her name? Miss Burke.
Miss Burke. She's wild in this movie.
And is she sleeping?
Yeah, it seems like
Josh Hartnett?
Seems like it. Everybody's sleeping with Josh Hartnett.
I don't know about that. But it seems like, so they have their little subplot where they kind of have this, she's like, you gotta pay attention, Josh Hartnett. And he's like, hey, here's some laxatives. No joke. And she's like, I don't need that. And he's like, all right, condoms. She's like, I don't need that either. But then like at the end of the movie, she's in the stands waving at him. And I'm like, they must have had sex. He's been held back a year, so I think he's of age. But that's got to be what happened, right, Mark?
Yeah, the vibes of student teacher relationship were strong in this movie. There was the cast in this movie, and like it's so Elijah Wood is your main character essentially.
Kind of your main character is really this group. I think they do a good job of having the group setting, which again is kind of like your Scream. I Know What You Did Last Summer sort of deal. Like you have a group of teens kind of working together to solve a mystery. Like Scooby-Doo.
If Shaggy was peddling scat.
He's a dog. No, not Shaggy. Scooby's a dog. He would have shit everywhere. And then
Scooby is a dog.
Shaggy would pick it up, put it in bags. Sell it.
Anyway, so like the movie starts with Robert Patrick's character, who is the football coach at the school.
Love him in this movie.
I love John Stewart in this movie.
Yeah, I think Robert Patrick to me is like the show stealer. To me, like the guy when he's on screen, I'm like, oh, this is good.
But he kind of plays the same character in every movie, though.
I disagree. I think this is a much different character than, like, the T-1000. Yeah,
the opening
angry,
scene
he's
is,
yelling,
like, T-1000 as him as an alien, all right?
No, and then, like, no, no. Go and watch again. I watched this movie twice. If you watch it, like, during the final football game, he's so animated. He's like, go out there and kick their heads off. And then there's this tackle and fireworks go off in the background and his face is like, ha, ha, ha. Like, he's so animated in this movie. He's having a blast. I really love Robert Patrick's performance. It's over the top and it fits the film.
No, I mean, I didn't think his performance was bad. I just think it's very T-1000.
What movie did you watch, Mark? Have you seen Terminator 2 recently?
I don't know how long it's been. But okay. Yeah, no.
What's he doing at the beginning of the movie?
Of Terminator?
No, this.
Oh, he's getting inseminated by the...
Whoa! No, I'm talking about at the beginning. They're having a football practice. He's like, ah, damn it! You pussies! And he's yelling at him, and he's throwing shit, and he's like, get the fuck off my field, bitch! And he's like, if you're going to play like that, shove a football in your ass or whatever. And you think that's how the T-1000 acted, but that's okay.
If the T-1000 was a football coach, maybe.
That would be a good movie.
And then at the end of the movie, they're carrying off T-1000 like Rudy style.
Yeah. And he's just going, fuck you! Piece of shit. He's totally different than the T-1000.
Anyways,
he gets inseminated.
He does get inseminated. And then there's like right off the bat, you're getting like slasher vibes. And I thought that was very cool. I thought in the school, you're getting slasher vibes where the original faculty who haven't been inseminated yet are running from Robert Patrick's character.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's right. So the principal's there. It's just, she's so pretty. God.
Have you looked at her lately?
No.
Don't.
Okay. But anyway, this is the kind of principal school I wish I was going to in high school, but, you know. She's basically breaking the bad news that there's no funding except for the football team. And then as she's leaving, she gets attacked by Coach T-1000. And he stabs her in the hand with a pencil. She screams and then is attacked by redheaded old lady teacher.
Yep.
And then
she
cut
dies.
To the...
Or
she
doesn't die.
No, she doesn't. She does. Nobody really dies. Mm. Oh, no, she's dead. The principal's dead at the end of the movie. But anyway... Spoilers. So it's the next day, and it's pure... This movie is the 90s thing, like we said, because there's punk rock music playing, and it's introducing all the characters. And your introduction to Elijah Wood is he's being bullied, and they're ramming him crotch first into the flagpole.
And people are just, like, walking by.
Nobody cares!
It's just like, oh, it's like another day.
Stokely, who is this other lady, she's played by Clea DuVall, and she's the typical angsty emo goth teen, and she says, crash and burn, Casey, and it's so stupid and it's so bad, but it's the 90s.
She gets falsely labeled as a lesbian
on her own, like, admission, though. Like, she uses a, you know, because people aren't accepting in the 90s as much as they are today, and so she uses the cover of being a lesbian to drive people away, I guess. Which, wouldn't that make her homophobic? Like, if she thinks... Anyway. I'm not going to try to read into any sort of social commentary on this.
Sean Hadosi plays the captain of the football team.
He sucks. He's worst part of the crew. Like, there's a crew.
You think?
The worst part?
Okay, so we got him. He's the jock guy. We got Stokely. She sucks.
Okay.
We got Jordana Brewster, who plays Delilah, who is
I think she sucks.
Yeah, but she plays the role. I mean, she's the pretty cheerleading captain. I think she fits the role. She's also most notably from the Fast and the Furious franchise.
All right.
Then you have Mary Beth Louise Hutchinson, played by Laura Harris. She's so pretty.
In the movie, have you looked at her recently?
Good Lord. You know, all right. So, and then, like you said, Stan Rosado, who plays, no, Sean Hatosi, who plays Stan Rosado. So, and then we got Josh Hartnett, who plays Zeke. So it's six people, right?
Yeah.
Delilah, Stokely, Zeke, who's Josh Hartnett, Mary Beth, Stan, and Elijah Wood's character. So which one's the worst in your opinion? You think it's Delilah?
I do think it's Delilah. It's just that she's... So, like, she plays a... kind of like an anti-hero for three quarters of the movie. And then she's a villain. And, like, I didn't really like that. Because, like, always, like, I was always like, oh, okay, she's a villain? Okay, that makes sense. She's always acted like a villain. It just, I never got behind, like, her as anybody other than a villain. And so when they kind of turn the tables and she's been inseminated. and they did they pulled the same type of trick with Stokely and
we can get into that scene. The scene where they're taking the drugs.
Oh yeah.
Well, I hate that scene. That's the worst part of the movie, but
do these drugs.
Yeah.
And then they try to get some exposition out of the way of how Mary Beth's character did not do the drugs. And she has the ability to close her nostril? What?
Now you're spoiling it! Because we don't know all that. So the new student in town is Mary Beth Louise Hutchinson, played by Laura Harris. And she is the new person in town. That's her gimmick. She's a Southern Belle.
She's from
Bale.
Atlanta.
She's a Southern Belle. And she tries to befriend Stokely pretty quickly. Anyway, they're all driven together by the fact that some weird things are happening to the staff here. And Elijah Wood finds this weird thing on the football field and brings it to John Stewart's classroom, where they discover once you put it in water, it comes to life and self-replicates, and it's a new sort of species of some kind. Now, you like John Stewart in this movie, right?
I did. I thought he was engaging. He was charismatic. He plays the part where he's over the top, but he's like over the top to an extent where you're not like, oh God, this guy again.
You know what? Because I watched this twice, and when you watch something twice, you tend to pick up things. There's like.
Sure.
When he's trying to flirt with Selma Hayek's character and she's just not giving him the time of day, he's like, well, I guess I'll just go shove a pin in my eye.
Yeah.
Which is foreshadowing.
Right, right. This film's so clever.
Well, and then there's a point where Mary Beth's like, I feel like an alien. It's like, okay.
Did you know that Jon Stewart might be our next president?
Please, Lord. Oh.
I hope if he gets elected, they play the scene where he gets stabbed in the eye. It is not.
I hope that if he gets elected, the State of the Union is just an episode of The Daily Show.
He'd be a perfect president for the year 2024.
Listen, I would vote for him. Because we've had worse.
So, Christopher McDonald is in this movie.
I love him, but he'll always be Shooter McGavin to me.
The scene where they're in. All right, so Christopher McDonald and his wife, whoever she is, their son is Elijah Wood's character, And essentially, Elijah Wood and Jordana Brewster's character see the faculty essentially kill Selma Hayek.
Now, this is after Stan gets accosted in the bathroom by the oldest woman who's literally falling apart in the shower.
Yeah, that was kind of gross.
It was real gross. I liked it, though, because he went to comfort her and put his hand in her hair. And just a whole piece of scalp off. Came off. It was gross. It was kind of awesome.
You know him. He's naked.
He's naked. She's near naked. Like, she's taking it off. But he doesn't even hesitate to give her a hug. That was a weird scene.
It's like, why? Why are you here? Why is this scene here? But anyways, let's pull her scalp off.
It needed to happen to move the story along.
Long story short, about the scene where Elijah Wood and Jordana Brewster's character they're in a broom closet, and they see
in the teacher's lounge.
In the teacher's lounge, and they see all the teachers that have been inseminated.
Only two. It's the redhead and Robert Patrick.
Right, and they essentially inseminate Selma Hayek, and and so they're like, oh my God. And then they like fall out of the broom closet in front of everybody. And then they
run off. And
they run off and the cops are called. Anyways.
Yeah. So Elijah Wood's like, Dad, Shooter McGavin, let's go back to school.
Right. You got to address these aliens.
Yeah. And at no point does Elijah Wood go, no one's going to believe me about aliens. He just doubles down.
Well, it's like there's interesting comment. There is interesting dialogue in this movie. And I thought it was unique that this movie draws inspiration, and the movie dialogue draws inspiration from Invasion of the Body Snatchers, and Elijah Wood and Stokely's character have a full fledged conversation about. Oh, that's just fiction. And they're like, what if
wasn't fiction? I hated that scene. Like, as much as I enjoyed this movie, there are two scenes that really chapped my ass. And that's one of them where he's like, yeah, but what if the fiction is how they're making us not believe in aliens by having fiction about aliens?
It's commentary on conspiracy theories, bro.
It's so stupid. But they all kind of, after this thing, they're like, they all kind of get on the same page that, because they go into Jon Stewart's thing to show the kids the weird parasite things so they can have all six of them on the same page. And Jon Stewart comes in the room and they're like, yeah, they think you're an alien. You know, Josh Hartnett doesn't buy it. And then, of course, Jon Stewart starts to attack and, Hartnett stabs him in the face with scat, not poop, but this drug that's in a pin, and then he foams up and dies. And so that gets all six of them now are on the same page that, yes, indeed, aliens are attacking and invading the staff and students here at the school. And so they all get on the same page. And oh, you wanted to talk about Shooter McGavin more, right?
No, but real quick, I think the coolest scene in the movie happens in the classroom where they're fighting Jon Stewart's character.
Yeah.
And
Stan.
Is that his name? Dan?
Stan is the football player.
Yeah, no, Stan. He breaks off the old paper cutter.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's got an arm with a blade on it, and you use it to cut papers. And he rips the arm off. So essentially it becomes like a machete.
Right. And it's slow motion. And he tosses it. He's like, hey, Zeke. Because it's
like
Josh Hartnett. Yeah. And Josh Hartnett's fighting Jon Stewart's character. And he's like, hey, Zeke, catch this. And he like slow motion tosses the machete to Josh Hartnett's character. And Josh Hartnett's character is getting ready to decapitate this motherfucker.
Yeah, it's good. I agree. That's good.
And then like CG Jon Stewart just disintegrates.
Yeah. After his fingers are cut off, And he's been stabbed in the eye with scat. He just sort of foams and dies.
I thought it was kind of a missed opportunity to establish kind of how badass Josh Hartnett's character is. Is because intellectually, he's already been portrayed as kind of a badass because he's super smart. And there's earlier scenes in the movie where him and John Stewart's character in class are going back and forth about science shit. And
yeah, and he's keeping up and he's really smart. Yeah. And you find out he's been held back, but they're like, hey, had you actually applied yourself? You know, and then you get to his house and it's basically Breaking Bad.
Right. And he's got these the microscopes.
Yeah, so after they flee the school,
I was just waiting on this motherfucker to put on a lab coat.
All these beakers and bubbles, and it is the stupidest thing. Like, this movie has so many just stupid things, but
he's just got a rat chilling in a cage.
Yeah, for no reason. Is he testing scat on the rat?
And he like opens it up and he's like, "All right, Oliver."
And he's named the rat, and then the rat gets attacked by the parasite for testing purposes, and then he has to kill the rat.
But then he dissects the rat, and
the rat, and they're like, "Okay, what happened was is scat is a diuretic, and if you stab them with scat, they die."
But then we find out that. We just find out that scat's just fucking caffeine pills.
What's he say? It's some other household shit.
And household shit, yeah.
So he, then we get the worst scene in the movie, in my opinion. I hate this scene. I hate it. I hate it so much. Because I watched it a second time and it came on. I'm like, oh, God. So in order to determine, because when you've been inseminated, you look just like everyone else. And so in order to tell who's inseminated and who's not, they force each other to do this scat drug. And it is so stupid.
They force them by gunpoint.
I hate the scene. And the reason I hate the scene, not because it doesn't make sense. Like, it makes sense. This is the correct course of action. But what I hate about it is absolutely everyone says, I ain't taking that. And then they have to be talked into it. Right? So Elijah Wood, here, you go first. Why me? Let's just take the shit. All right, I'll take it. And then Stan has a gun. Or wait, does Stan take it first? I don't remember. But anyway, and it's like, Josh Hartnett, you got to take it. And then he's like, I don't get high on my own supply. And I'm like, bitch, why are you denying doing this? This was your idea. And so they got him to do it at gunpoint. And then Stan
does it. But then they hand each other the gun.
But then they're like, okay, Stan, your turn. And he's like, ha, 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 I don't do drugs. And you're like, come the fuck on. But this is like every person. And then they go to, who's left?
Stokely. Mary Beth.
No, and Stokely's like, nah, man, I'm not doing that homemade shit. And then they have to talk her into it. And then they get to Mary Beth and Delilah. It's your turn. Now, Mary Beth, they establish earlier on, she's like allergic to aspirin. And so she actually has a legitimate, baked in story reason why she shouldn't do the drug, right? And that's the only good thing about the scene is them weighing the fact that the drug could kill her, but they also need to know if she's an alien or not. Well, they make Delilah and her do it at the same time. But this is only after Delilah's like, I ain't doing that shit. I hate the scene.
But then she like runs through the wall.
Which is great because she's an alien now, right? Right. She does the stuff and it doesn't even kill her. She just becomes an alien more. It's weird.
No, she didn't do it. She refused to do it and then like
ran through the Kool-Aid ran her way out of there.
And then, like, a student, like, a car shows up outside, like,
well, because exactly... they're, like, so you find out that the alien, it's like a hive mind, right?
Right.
So they all know where each other are, and they can, like, call a ride, like, get an Uber, alien Uber.
Alien Uber, right.
But they also mess up Zeke's stupid laboratory from, like, they break all the beakers and shit, and he's like, damn, that's my stash, man. And so all he has left is about 400 more doses. Like, they try to act like they're on a short supply, but he just always has more.
But then, like,
Do you have any more? Nah, man. Well, yeah, in my pocket. Do you have any more? Nah, that was the last one. Well, in my car. Right. He just always has more.
Oh, here's some in my locker. Damn, there's another one on the ground? Let me pick that up.
Yeah, he's a scat fiend. So, all right.
All right, so let's rewind for a minute.
Please.
And go back to Elijah Wood's house where mom and dad are taking away all his shit because they're grounding him because they think he's full of shit.
Look at the spine of the book. That's where they hide the drugs.
No music for you, mister.
Yeah, they take his music, which is the dumb thing. And then the best part when Shooter McGavin's about to leave the room, his Elijah Wood's mom goes, take his porno, and then points at the bed, and he says, no more flogging the pirate. What does he say?
Something like that.
No more banging the senator's daughter. I don't know, but some sort of euphemism for jerking off. And they take all his mags. Now that was uncalled for.
Like, all right, you know it exists. You know it's there. And you go punish?
Why are you going to take his jerk rags? Like, and what's funny is they know that they're there the whole time, right, and their mom and dad just like, let them have them. But now I actually kind of think this is good parenting now that I think about it, because if you allow him to think he's getting away with it and you actually need to punish him and you take away his jerk rags. Okay. So, people under the age of 30, 40, back in the day, the internet was very slow.
you just let it slip. You say we.
You and I, specifically. The internet was very slow.
Right.
And so if you wanted to see nude pictures, you would wait.
Yes.
And if your sibling picked up the phone, no naked pictures, right? So we had to use magazines that you get at the store or you steal from
your friend's
dad's
bathroom. Not even
magazines, bro. Bathroom.
Catalogs. Catalogs.
Huh? You had catalogs.
You did not have catalogs?
Not catalogs. I would.
You didn't use like the Sears catalog?
Hell no.
No.
I didn't do that shit. I had the real deal. The real deal, man. You know, like trading cards? We didn't do that shit. We traded mags.
That's so nasty.
That is nasty in hindsight. You're right. I can't argue with it. It is nasty.
Like when Shooter McGavin picked up the magazines, I was like, ew, put them down, bro.
Yeah, get some gloves. That's why I won't hold anyone else's phone for the same reason.
Exactly, 100%. The phone is the nastiest thing you own.
It really is. It's just a jizz-covered device. So they get his porno mags, which is just, again, uncalled for. And then
they tell him, they're like, oh, you get your ground. So then he proceeds to, like, he breaks out of the house
immediately.
And then he falls off the roof, and the dad comes out, and he's like, what the fuck are you doing? and then he's still holding the porno magazines.
Hey, listen, you can't let him go to waste.
So anyways, Shooter McGavin plays a very specific role in this movie, and he delivers. Sure.
I love him. He's such a great actor. He is a bit of a character actor. Like, he always kind of plays a very similar thing, but when he does, it's just like, it's gold.
No, I mean, like, he was in the movie for like all of 5 minutes and it stole every single scene.
Yeah.
Anyways. So back to these aliens.
So they get the things, and he's got just a handful of drugs. So they got to kill the queen, right? The whole thing is that a bunch of people are already possessed. Like, pretty much the whole school is already done, right? Except for our six heroes. And so they have to get the queen because, according to some science fiction book that has no basis in what is actually happening, says if you kill the queen, everything else will die and it'll all stop. Now, granted, that's how it has to work for this to actually
make perfect exposition.
Any sense, right?
Yeah.
So I'm fine with it. But the fact that they came to that conclusion mostly because of Stokely has read some science fiction novels.
Yeah.
You're good with it.
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that.
Okay, great.
I didn't need them to go into some science.
I didn't either.
Factual science based.
I almost wish they wouldn't try to explain.
Yeah.
Like if Josh Hartnett opened it up and said, "Hey, look, man," and then he said some big words, and then they'd be like, "English, please," and it's like, basically, you kill the queen, you kill them all. Then I'd be like, "Okay, perfect." But the fact that they had to pull it out of some old ass novel. Anyway,
I think this is the most acting I've ever seen Josh Hartnett do.
What did you think about the character of Zeke?
I thought it was a unique, not so like the classic, oh, he's just a dumb drug.
He's like not even a jock.
You know, he's not a jock, but then the end of the movie turns him into one. That's
he's
weird.
He's like playing football again. I don't know why. But so the introduction to the character is he has this badass GTO. Yeah. Which is a car, for those that don't know. And he peels out and he rips into the parking lot and he opens his trunk and he just starts dealing drugs on school property. I mean, this is a guy who does not give a shit. And he's wearing like 3 t-shirts.
That
tells you what
kind
of man we're dealing with.
That's just what you did in the 90s, though.
Yeah, that's true. I did immediately like be like, oh, damn. Look at those shirts. I remember doing that. That's a lot of shirts.
Yeah,
but
you had,
that's
you had to have throw down
the character, and he's super smart as they show in science class, but he's not graduated because he I think maybe he makes more money dealing drugs on campus than he would graduating and getting a real job, maybe.
Well, there's this whole other like subplot of that his parents have abandoned him to go globetrotting.
Yeah. Because, so Mary Beth Louise is like, yeah, my parents are dead. And he's like, yeah, mine are too. And she's like, I'm sorry. And he goes, well, they might as well be. They're out of town. Which is pretty fucking stupid. Yeah. Like, just because the hot girl says my parents are dead doesn't mean you should immediately, like, a lie. And, yeah, mine too.
Well, I mean, he was speaking metaphorically.
Yeah.
They're dead to him.
He didn't. No, he just. I don't know. What do I know?
They're dead to him, yeah. And he. But like, I think there's probably a good character, like, in Zeke. Somewhere.
I didn't mind the character, to be honest.
No, I didn't either. I thought Josh Hartnett was. Okay in the role.
What about his hair? Okay.
His hair was dumb.
The stupidest hair. He gets out of his car and he just has, it just looks like he was wearing a hat, slept in a baseball hat, and then took it off and went to school.
Yeah.
It's like a choice though. Cause next day, same hair.
Right. Same hair.
He chooses to look like this.
Hey, did you catch that 70s show guy?
Yeah, the rapist.
Yes, the rapist.
Allegedly, but yes. No, wait, he's guilty. I think he got, anyway, yeah, him.
I mean, he was in the film. Towards the end of the film, they all go to the gym, and they're going to kill the queen. With this last bit of scat that they got.
So they do some really good things with Mary Beth's character here in these last few segments.
Yeah, they make her naked.
Okay. I was going to say more along the lines of hinting at the fact that she is the queen.
Oh, okay.
So, like, there's the scene where they think, oh, it's got to be the principal. I mean, she's running things. It makes sense, which is stupid logic. Yeah. Stupidest logic.
Yeah.
But thankfully it doesn't work out. But they get her, they shoot her, and like Elijah Wood kind of wusses out, and so Mary Beth opens up the container that contains all the rest of the scat and just dumps it on the principal and she dies. And in hindsight, it makes sense for the character who, because she's really the queen, to waste all this stuff. But when you see it the first time, you're like, oh, she just panicked and did it. I just thought it was really smart how they did it, where if you watch it a second time, you can kind of pick up on the motives and stuff.
Yeah, but then we find out that Principal was not the queen.
So now they assume it's the coach.
Wait, another safe assumption.
This coach does make the most sense.
The coach makes the most sense out of anybody.
Yeah, I agree.
And I'm surprised they didn't go after him to begin with, but they
used the stupid logic. He's like, okay, let's see here. Who gets paid the most? The principal. These idiots.
Well, I mean, there's a reason why one of them's been held back a year.
That's good. Yes.
So Mary Beth reveals that she's the actual queen. And which makes a lot of sense is because she showed up right when everything weird started happening and
yep.
And she's a loner and this and that, blah blah blah. But she essentially morphs into this gigantic tentacled creature and starts chasing. Oh, and then we find out that Stokely's been inseminated. And so Elijah Wood's character.
So they inseminate Stan.
Yeah.
And he runs off and disappears. Yeah. You don't see him again.
Nope.
And then, so there's this awesome scene actually in the pool, right? So they're running away from Mary Beth, who turns into the queen. It's this big, ugly monster. Also, we should say the CG in this movie, trash. Fucking horrible. But it is what it is.
I mean, for 1998, it was
run of the mill.
Yeah.
But one cool part is when she's the monster and she jumps in the pool and there's like this physical large creature pushing all the water.
Yeah.
And the way that I thought that was awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a practical effect. So, yeah.
It doesn't age. Just looks good.
Right. There were a couple scenes where they actually used a practical monster.
Yeah. And it looks so much better.
Yeah. 100%. But the, a lot of the final battle between the teenagers and this monster take place in the gymnasium locker room, and Elijah Wood's character locks Stokely in a fenced in area, and he and Josh Hartnett gets knocked out, and so the payoff for his character wasn't really anything. And Elijah Wood, who is he is essentially the main character. It's because he's the only one we ever get one, separate scenes with. Where it's just him and nobody else from the group.
Yeah.
And so he ends up fighting the monster in. And I thought this was unique, and it was cool. The CG wasn't great in it, but he uses the gymnasium, what do you call it? Bleachers, and he starts running behind him, and he pushes the button that makes the bleachers fold up into the wall. And he knows the creature's going to chase him. They don't know what the bleachers are doing, and these bleachers are the fastest fucking folding bleachers I've ever seen. But they essentially fold into the monster, pinning the monster between the bleachers and the wall. Monster can't go anywhere, and this is where they use practical effects.
And it looks great, yeah.
And the monster's head sticking out of the bleachers, and Elijah Wood stabs it in the eyeball and kills the queen,
but as it's dying, it coughs and shoots these parasites at his face, and they're like going in this, and Elijah Wood, if nothing else, gives that pained scream like he does in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I can't even do it. And it's so effective to me. as they're digging in his skin. And it's what Elijah Wood does best. And I think it works. Now, he wins the day 1 month later, right? So yeah,
we get the scene card 1 month later.
Yeah, Stokely and Stan are dating,
and she has blonde hair now,
and wears purple. Yeah. It's color. She's happy now. That's so stupid. And then, all right, so what? Who else gets updated? No, because What's-Her-Face is dead. Who was the other member of the group?
Jordana Brewster's character.
Well, she's this is another thing I didn't like. Is that dumb. She's dating Elijah Wood now?
Right.
And it was like, it just felt dumb. Like they didn't establish any sort of camaraderie or sexual tension or anything
no,
of her
no romance.
Yeah. There's no point of her coming around and seeing him as anything other than a geek. She never does. And then like just out of nowhere, they're dating.
Yep.
Ridiculous. I
mean, right.
And as it's panning out, you get to see the new nerd in town getting his balls rammed into the flagpole, and we cut the credits.
Do you think this this film catapulted Elijah Wood into the the seat for Frodo?
No, I do not.
No?
No. Huh. This is what, 98?
Yeah, it was
2000, 2001?
Yeah, that makes sense, right?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know that it catapulted him. I don't think it hurt him, but this is not a star-making performance for him.
I don't know, man.
I don't think so. Man, so when you're watching the credits, did you watch all the character, the actor cards?
No, fuck no, man.
Okay, you missed a good thing then. You should have. So they show like Stokely and the actress's name, and they show all the characters. And then they show Jon Stewart, who's got an eye patch on, and he's like smiling at the camera, and he goes to wave, and he's got a donut in his hand, but he doesn't have any fingers on the hand. So the character that Jon Stewart plays survived, wears an eye patch, and has no fingers.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. I promise you, and I have no way to prove this, that was Jon Stewart's idea. Like he's like, you know what would be funny is if we shot this and just put it in the credit roll or maybe add his contract. But, just one little touch of comedy that he does so well.
All right. So Elijah Wood did this film in 98. He had a film called Black and White. Never seen it. Never heard of it. In 1999.
Mm-hmm.
He also had a film called Chain of Fools in 2000. Never heard of it. Never seen it.
And clearly a star-making performance had him in these big roles that...
And then 2001, Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring.
Okay, so here's the thing. Sean Astin's in that movie.
Right. Sure.
You have, what's his name? Aragorn. What movies did he do before that catapulted him in? You got... Dominic Monaghan.
No, but Elijah Wood is the main character of the entire thing.
Yeah, so?
I'm just saying.
I think they got him because he was affordable.
That might be true, too, but he was also... The faculty was...
I don't think the faculty is as big of a phenomenon as you think.
I don't know, man.
I do, because remember Scream?
Yeah.
Nobody came out of that movie to become a huge star. And that is a true phenomenon. I just can't get behind it. I think that they got him because he's a good actor and he fit the role. And I don't think
Elijah Wood, that's great of an actor. I don't think.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think he's not amazing or anything, but I don't think that the faculty had really any bearing on him being cast in Lord of the Rings, personally.
Hmm. Interesting. Sean Astin runs circles around Elijah Wood and all those movies.
Encino Man. Great film. We should watch it sometime.
We can take the DeLorean back to the year 2021.
Yeah, watch that. So, Mark...
Yeah.
Do you recommend The Faculty?
while I did enjoy, I was entertained with the movie. I don't recommend it. It's not great. it is fun to see these actors as, you know, early or late teenager, early 20s actors, but ultimately the film is super 90s. Like, if you're looking for a time capsule movie, man, this is it.
Yeah, I agree.
But no, I don't recommend it.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I think, I don't know how much of it was nostalgia and it taking me back to a simpler time, but it's a lot of fun, but it's certainly, I think for a recommendation, it'd have to be a movie where I'd be like, what? You haven't seen that? You know, and it's just not that tier of a movie, you know? It's fine. It's worth a watch. It's fun. But yeah, it's not going to get my rec.
And make sure you stick around for the credits for the character of Fuck You Boy and Fuck You Girl.
Yeah. It's important. That was actually kind of a weird thing. I actually kind of like that. So there's this couple. They're like dating, I guess. But it's a super abusive relationship. Right. Where they're running down the hall and he's getting punched around by his girl and he's like yelling at her. And then he gets inseminated and this pisses her off because he won't fight back. And then she gets inseminated and they don't fight anymore. It's weird.
But the characters' names are Fuck You Girl and Fuck You Boy. So
yeah. And yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So what's our theme next month? Are we gonna
talk about next month's that? Theme? Yeah, yeah. No, theme next month is going to be movies that feature drugs, which could have been this movie.
Oh, we're watching it again. Yeah, so this is selected by your better half.
It was, yes.
We couldn't think of anything, and so it's a 5-week month, and we asked your better half to select the theme and then also select our week 5 film. So Mark and I will be drafting 2 movies apiece as usual. And then our week 5 film will be selected by your spouse.
Yeah. My wife, Kathy did labor on this decision.
she scared me at first.
She had some doozies.
She was talking about Clockwork Orange. I'm like, no, God, no. God.
She did. And so that was super unique because I've never seen that fucking film.
I don't want to see the movie, Mark. I don't want to.
So I was like, oh, shit, I've never seen that movie. And I've always kind of wanted to watch it.
Watch it in your free time. I ain't watching that shit.
But then she was like, I don't want to watch it. So she settled on movies because a lot of her kind of favorite movies have to do with these movies that deal with drugs in them, but because of the actors who are in the movies.
Have you shown her The Faculty yet?
I'm willing to bet she's seen it.
Probably.
I don't know. I did not watch the movie with her, so. So we're gonna watch films that deal with drugs as our theme next month.
I got a couple in mind. I know one for sure that I'm doing. So I had even thought of doing both of the 21 Jump Street movies and just being done with it, but you know, that's just too easy, and I gotta branch out a little bit.
It is easy. I have a short list of films that I think would satisfy the theme.
Aspirin is a drug. Ah, damn it. Damn it, Mark. Hey, there's a scene where they take aspirin. God.
The movies are not Scarface. So,
I thought about it only because of the scene of him. You know, yeah, but no, none of mine are Scarface either, but.
So, hey, what are we watching next week?
I picked it. Oh, yeah. Now that I think about it, we're watching.
I'm watching the trailer right now.
Mean Girls, starring Lindsay Lohan, Rachel McAdams, Tina Fey.
Amanda Seyfried.
Tina Fey directed and wrote it, I believe, as well?
Nope. She wrote it. She did not direct it.
Oh, okay.
She wrote the screenplay. It's based on a book by Rosalind Wiseman, whoever that is.
She wrote Mean Girls.
She wrote the book Queen Bees and Wannabes.
Oh, I love that book.
It's your favorite.
I don't go book.
So anyways, we're gonna watch that. We're gonna close out the month on a high note.
We're gonna gush
over this movie.
It's all good.
It is a classic.
Proud of you, Mark.
Yeah, no, you're welcome.
You could have picked some sort of damn garbage, like directed by the Safdie brothers, but instead you said no.
You know, if the Safdie brothers had a film that revolved around, I almost picked Brick. Have you ever seen that movie, Brick?
Thank God, I never will. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. No,
I never will. It's not directed by the Safdie brothers, but it's got your boy Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I like him.
Yeah, no,
he's my boy. We hang out.
It's called Brick.
I pee in the bathroom.
He tries to solve the murder of his girlfriend at high school.
Damn, that sounds good.
Yeah, no, look it up. It's a good film. I almost picked that one, but I went with Mean Girls, and I'm glad I did. Music this month is we want to thank the band Speakeasy for allowing us to use their music on the podcast, and specifically the song Enemy. Make sure you catch the show notes, and they're doing big things. Every band we feature is doing big things. Just
yeah,
the biggest of things.
I agree. Now, if you want to see some really big things, you can head over to Twitter.com and check out I Heard You Liked on Twitter. That's where you'll find Mark.
Listen, when you go through, Jeff, when you're deciding, hey, what do I want to do another podcast on? And you decide on Josh Hartnett chronologically, I would also like to be on some of those episodes.
Not going to happen. I mean, you're welcome to come on the show, but I'm not doing Josh Hartnett chronologically.
Anyways, you're going to do it. It's fine.
No, I'm not.
You can find Jeff on Twitter at Podcast by Jeff, where he also features the vast number of podcasts that he is also cheating on me with.
It's an open relationship. We agreed when we started. Open relationship. I always wear a condom when podcasting with other people.
Sounds like you've done that once or twice.
That means I don't have to get up to go to the bathroom. Just fill it up.
That's oddly specific. Anything else?
You didn't want to leave off on that?
We can't. Yeah, no, we
no,
can't.
No, 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 this is fine. We'll see you guys next week for Mean Girls.